Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So the question being asked this morning is, could we see an increase to the minimum wage in the coming budget? Well, the government is understood to be considering a recommendation from the Low Pay Commission to increase the national minimum wage by around 55 cent, which would bring the hourly rate to just over 14 euro. Well, for more on how this could impact both workers and employers, we're joined by Jean McCabe, who's CEO of Retail Excellence Ireland and a small business owner herself, and also Michelle Murphy, Research and Policy Analyst with Social Justice Ireland. And Jean, I'll start with you. Back in May, you were calling for a pause on the minimum wage, weren't you? So what's your reaction to the news now that it might go up?
To be honest, Claire, as a small business owner, I'm actually stunned. I feel like, you know, it appears the Low Pay Commission are out of touch. You know, we saw insolvencies double from Q1 to Q2 of this year. All the metrics are showing that the sector is under immense pressure. There's 17,000 less jobs in retail this year versus last year. And like, I want to reiterate, you know, retailers want to look after their people, but we've had to shoulder 35% increase in our wage costs in the last 5 years on our own. We've had no relief from government in relation to reduction in VAT or PRSI to help us sustain our businesses. And I fear for so many small businesses out there facing into that.
But you know, government policy is to move towards the living wage, and this brings us closer to that point. And we've seen similar increases in previous years. So I just wonder why it was such a surprise to you that it was coming.
Well, government have paused and kicked that down the road until 2028, the move towards the living wage, because they recognise that, you know, the sectors are under pressure, especially hospitality and retail. We are the largest employers in those sectors, so it disproportionately affects us more than anyone else. But I put it into context. There is no industry in Ireland that could sustain a 35% increase in our main wage cost in 5 years.
And that's what it will amount to, is it?
And that is what we are looking at. From 2022 to 2026, it'll be 35% increase. Mm-hmm. And there has been no reduction in PRSI. There's been no reduction in VAT in trying to alleviate those costs. And businesses simply cannot shoulder those costs alone.
So what happens in that context then? If it reaches, as far as you're concerned, an unsustainable level, what do you do?
So what you're seeing now is retailers and businesses are trying to manage those costs by reducing hours. And the ERSI only recently came out with a report that showed the minimum wage increase in 2020 alone, which was only 30 cent, resulted in nearly 2 hours less per week worked by employees. So the minimum wage employees aren't even getting the benefit of this. They're actually seeing hours reduced and the pay trying to be managed and stay the same. So like, there is no real winner here. What we want to do is make sure that we keep those jobs for those minimum wage employees, because I fear that you're going to see further increases in insolvency in Q3 of this year. Last year saw the largest jump of insolvencies in Q3. The data isn't out now, but I'd imagine it's going to be significant. Last year it was a 75% jump from Q2 to Q3. And I think we're going to see the same this year. And, you know, it's going to end up resulting in business closures, more business closures and less jobs in the industry.
Uh-huh. You see, it started from a very low base, didn't it? When the Low Pay Commission came into being in 2015, the minimum wage was at the same rate that it had been in 2008. So a lot of ground had to be made up since 2015.
So since then, we have seen a 67% increase. That's where we're at. And now we're the second highest minimum wage in Europe after Luxembourg.
Well, let's bring in Michelle on this. Michelle, you're welcome to the programme from Social Justice Ireland. Do you welcome this increase if it comes to pass?
Good morning, Claire. Look, the Low Pay Commission, they produce this number every year, and they do it before the budget, so it can be factored into budget calculations by both ministers. In terms of the increase, it still doesn't get to where the living wage, which was calculated, there's an update in that as well. It would still be below that. If the reports are, I think it's 55 cents, so it would bring it over to above 14 euros an hour. But I suppose we have to look at it in the context of the costs. that you know, those workers are facing as well. So we've seen like substantial costs in the price of food, for example, energy and housing, and those are kind of the drivers of wage increases. And that's the problem, because those costs are so high, that means that obviously, you know, it's the low pay commission for a reason. So it's looking at, you know, how you support, I suppose, the minimum wage so that people can afford those essentials. The problem I guess we have here is that, and you know, some businesses are struggling, and I guess government does need to look at, well, how are you going to support those businesses, be it in terms of local rates, in terms of supporting them with other costs to do this. And I suppose that's what's missing from the equation. But in terms of workers, yes, because if you look at those workers on the minimum wage in terms of what they got, we'd say, from the previous government over five budgets, because they didn't benefit from any tax changes, you know, to the top tax band, what they got was you know, very minimal. And that's the problem. So they're facing
well, much
the
of it was one-off payments, wasn't it, Michelle, in the last couple of years?
Which is, particularly for those workers, because they didn't benefit from any change apart from the small change
in
the UNC.
Just listening to what you're saying, though, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, do you accept what Jean is saying? That it's difficult for businesses now to pay over €14 an hour in minimum wage?
Well, obviously it's difficult for some businesses. Some businesses aren't struggling, but you know, obviously there are some smaller businesses in hospitality and retail that are struggling. And I think the minister had indicated previously there would be support for those businesses, but it's not up to the employee to solve the problem of, you know, the other increased costs that those businesses face. Because as you said, that, you know, the minimum wage originally, when the Low Pay Commission was established, it increased from a very low base. The problem that the government really has at the moment, you know, half of the people, or what's called a tax unit, so the people paying income tax in this country, they earn below €35,000, which means any changes to top tax rates don't benefit them. You've really been targeting them with one-off measures, and that hasn't worked either. We spend over €2 billion on universal energy credits. Arrears are rising. The amount of arrears is rising. And, you know, you've seen a gap grow now between working households on low and high incomes. And that's really problematic. And you also then have the issue of people on fixed income, so on a social welfare rate. Pensioners, for example, like two-thirds of an older person living alone last year, what they got was temporary. That's a real concern. So, you know, they have some big issues to resolve between now and budget day. Like this minimum wage, if it is announced, the increase, that is going to be factored into the package of, I think it's at $9.4 billion. Obviously, it's going to form part of that. But they need to look at how they're going to support those smaller businesses who are struggling. But you have to support the workers as well.
Yeah.
And the minimum wage will be baked into the budgetary figures.
Jean, how could government support smaller business owners like yourself to do this? Because as a listener reminds us here, you've also got pension auto enrolment coming. That's going to cost you 1.5%, isn't it, of the workers' salary. That's what you'll have to contribute. So that's coming too. Mm-hmm. So what do you want from government?
Government need to offset those costs with a reduction in VAT and a reduction in PRSI for businesses. They're the only two measures that they can control on that P&L.
Well, the only talk about reduction in VAT is for businesses, and it won't affect you. It's for hospitality, isn't it? And for food in particular.
And that's to look after hospitality and food. But I would argue and say in 2012, we saw our VAT rate go from 21 to 23% as a temporary measure. And here we are in 2026, and that temporary measure is still in place. Retail needs their VAT to reduce down to 21, and we need a PRSI rebate to offset this 35% increase that we've had to endure for the last 5 years. It's just, it's simply not sustainable. And to be honest, to wake up this morning and see the media with that announcement, I was actually flabbergasted. As a small business owner, there are so many of us that are struggling out there. And I just think this could be, you know, the nail in the coffin for so many.
But, you know, and Michelle makes the point, there are some businesses that can afford to do this. People are really struggling with their grocery bills, with their energy bills, as you know, I'm sure. So those measures that you talk about, the reduction in VAT, the rebate on the PRSI, should they apply to smaller businesses only and not to the companies who can well afford to pay over €14 an hour?
Well, unlike other sectors, retail and hospitality actually disproportionately affected more so than anyone else because we employ 43% of minimum wage workers. So it affects us more than anybody else. And, you know, you wonder why costs are going up. The cost of food going up is a result of the minimum wage increases we have seen, and they've become embedded into the supply chain now. Every time a minimum wage goes up, that means the farmer, the producer, the manufacturer, the delivery driver, all of those extra costs are all embedded into the price. So this is helping to add to the cost of living as well. And I think there's an ERSI report there that states to increase the minimum wage to deal with poverty and the cost of living crisis is like using a blunt instrument. It's actually not the tool to help people. But we are where we are now, and governments have to do something to alleviate the cost because it is simply not sustainable.
Do you agree with that, Michelle, that putting up the minimum wage results in the price of just about everything going up as a result?
Well, no, because the minimum wage is there to ensure that workers can actually afford to live. I mean, if your job should enable you to, you know, have a basic standard of living, you know, pay your bills, your rent, buy your food.
But the business owner has to pay for that in some way. So they'll end up putting up the prices, is Jean's argument. That's how it's paid for.
Well, or they can absorb it. Obviously, some businesses have put up their prices. But the problem is, if you use a very blunt instrument like VAT, if a consumer hears that VAT has been reduced, they're going to expect a reduction in their prices. But if businesses are going to use that VAT cut to alleviate issues elsewhere, whether it's higher energy costs or higher wage costs, then they're not going to be able to cut the prices. And the consumer is going to say, well, why am I not seeing a reduced price as a result of this VAT decrease? And I suppose the Department of Finance, you know, published two reports on this, and they found the reduction generally wasn't passed on to the consumer and it was very costly. And there are better ways to target smaller businesses through rates, for example, local rates, through things like looking at their energy costs rather than a very blunt instrument, which is very costly in terms of that. In terms of PRSI, I really don't think the government can do that because we're going from a situation where you have four people working for every older person to, in 20 years' time, there's going to be two for every older person. And how are we going to fund the social? PRSI funds the Social Insurance Fund, which funds pensions and everything else. And if you reduce the money going into the Social Insurance Fund now, how are government going to pay for those other things? So I'm not sure that they would do that. And that also is a very blunt and very costly instrument. You can do very targeted things for smaller businesses in terms of retail, hospitality, accommodation and food, but you could do them better, more targeted and have better outcomes if you do look at rates and other things rather than really costly, really blunt instruments.
Okay, well, let's see what Jean thinks of
your
suggestion there on doing something on rates and energy costs, Jean. Would that cut it?
So if we look at last year, 2024, government introduced a grant scheme, you know, the Power Up grant and a few other measures to help support businesses. But they were like, they were one off that came and went. We didn't know if they were going to be here. We got nothing this year. And no business can run on the hope that we're going to get a grant to keep alive. It has to be down to the fundamental core costs of businesses. And the big ones that the government do control is VAT and PRSI. And to argue Michelle's point around VAT and the consumer expecting a reduction if the VAT is reduced, when VAT went up, businesses absorbed it. Hospitality has had to absorb the increase in VAT in the last 12 months. And that's why you're seeing such a significant amount of closures. Mm-hmm. And the challenge is here, just so Michelle is aware, you know, how the world works in retail, for example, there's a recommended retail price across Europe. So if you go on my website or if you go on another website across Europe, you'll see the same price for the same dress in general. And that's because there's a recommended retail and there's a benchmark there. In Ireland, we have to absorb that 23% VAT. Other countries might only be operating at 17%, but you're still seeing the same retail price across the board. So that's how it works.
Okay, well, listen, we'll leave it there. Thank you both for being with us, Jean McCabe and Michelle Murphy. We'll be talking more about the budget, also the presidency and the Sinn Féin intrigue a little later on in the gathering. Next up, though, Greg Allen tells us about what to expect from athletic sensation Kian McPhillips from Longford after his record-breaking semi-final last night.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.